fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and talking today about Pentecost, we're preparing each day this week. I'd like to talk about different dimensions of Pentecost because we're moving toward the celebration of it this coming Sunday, May 15th. It's such an important day in the church's year because it reminds us of the fundamental, really, foundation of Jesus' mission and the whole arc of the work of salvation. Pentecost is central. In fact, it's, you may say, the goal, many ways, of what Jesus and his entire coming and his mission and teaching are focused on, bringing the church, bringing human beings into union with the Holy Spirit. You know, we have Jesus' incarnation where he comes, he's the one, where heaven is united to human flesh. And Jesus' mission is fueled by the Holy Spirit. He comes out of the River Jordan. He's been anointed by the Holy Spirit. He goes forward under the power of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to preach the kingdom of God. He performs signs and wonders. He drives out demons, and he's empowered. And the Holy Spirit is manifested through the acts that Jesus performs, his healings, his signs and wonders. You see the Holy Spirit through the effects of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus reminds everybody he's the one that's anointed by the Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit leads him all the way to Calvary. And at Calvary, Jesus, under the power and help of the Holy Spirit, he destroys the hold of Satan over human flesh through the shedding of his blood and his sacrifice on the cross. St. Paul tells us he disarmed the principalities and powers. He made a public show of them. And so he brought down the kingdom of Satan and his power over human flesh for all those who turn to Christ and receive his teaching and follow him. And then the Holy Spirit, of course, is there to raise Jesus from the dead. And the beginning of the new creation happens in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And he's alive, and the glory of God is manifested in him. And we get a glimpse of the future of the human race and what it means. It's Jesus' resurrection and his ascension then into glory is not just something that happened to him. It's the beginning of what God wants to do with every single human being that turns their heart to him. Jesus rises from the dead, and his resurrection, his ascension, are essentially one act. It's the completion. Jesus rose from the dead. He manifested himself. He showed himself to over 500 people, saw him, touched him, experienced his resurrection. But Jesus was moving from there to the right hand of the Father, because God's plan was to take human flesh, not just bring it through death to new life, and to have for the first time existence beyond death, that is a future for the human race beyond death. But that future is destined to be with God at the right hand of God and sharing God's glory. So Peter will say at one point, we are becoming, through repentance and baptism and entrance into Jesus' church, we're becoming partakers of the divine nature. God saves us by sharing with us his indestructible life, his own nature. He lifts us beyond where we are now and what we could ever become on our own sources. So Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. One of us has made it home, and that one is our elder brother, the firstborn from the dead, the head of a new race of people. And from that position, he pours out the Spirit. Remember, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is, that Adam, our father, gave us our human nature. Jesus is the second Adam who gives birth to a race of people through the Spirit, who are born of the Spirit. He's a life-giving Spirit, is what it says. So God's plan of salvation is intimately tied to Pentecost, because Jesus, the one who is a new life-giving Spirit, he's the one who pours out the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Father and the Son give forth the Holy Spirit, which St. Peter describes as the promise of the Father. Throughout the Old Testament, the Father promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost is the day, in some ways, that Jesus' mission is completed at a whole nother level. On the cross, he said, it is finished. What was finished? His sacrifice. He came to die for the sins of the world. Paul tells us he became a curse for all of us. He died. It is finished. He rose from the dead. his ultimate destruction and declaration over Satan's power is finished as he comes from death to life. The new creation has begun. Then he rises to glory, and there the work is finished. Why? Because that's our destiny. He's accomplished it. He's made the way. He's created the pathway. He's made it possible for us to share what belongs to him. And then he pours out the Spirit that he received from the Father, St. Peter says, because it was his right, having earned the right through his cross, his faithfulness to the Father, giving to the Father what belongs to the Father, his obedience even unto death, having shown everyone what it means to be human. You're made, friend, to obey God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the reason you exist. That's why you're here on earth. Jesus showed you, he showed me, the faithful Son, witness to us what this is all meant to be. And then he's saying, okay, now I'm going to give you the Spirit. And that Spirit that dwells in me and is united to the Father and I, we're going to give you the Spirit to enable you to live a new way of life. We're going to give you power. Power to live a new way of life. And so the church is born, and the church comes into being through the anointed preaching of the apostles, who are the first to receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's presence in their life was clear, and it was manifested. The recent popes have worked so hard to help us lay hold again of the fundamental truth of what it means to be a Catholic, what it means to be a Christian. It means to be born again by water and the Spirit. It means to be brought to life by the Holy Spirit. So the urgent cry and teaching of the recent popes, John the 23rd, the Second Vatican Council, St. Pope John the 23rd, the prayer of the Second Vatican Council was the united cry of the 2,500 or so bishops who were there, who were crying out to the Father and to Jesus for a grace of a new Pentecost. Pope Paul VI, I read a quote yesterday, who he said, the church needs her eternal Pentecost. She needs the eternal, perpetual outpouring of the Spirit in a way that the apostles experienced it. Here's John Paul II talking about the role of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's grace in the Second Vatican Council and the need for us to be able to taste again the power of Pentecost. He says, with the Second Vatican Council, this great gift of the Spirit to the church at the end of the second millennium, he's referring to the Second Vatican Council as a new Pentecost. He says, we have experienced the grace of a renewed Pentecost. Many signs of hope have sprung from it for the church's mission. And I've never failed to point them out, to emphasize and to encourage them. I'm thinking, among other things, of the rediscovery and revaluation of the charisms, which fostered a more vital communion between the different vocations given to the people of God, of renewed zeal for evangelization, of the promotion of the laity and their participation and co-responsibility in the life of the Christian community, of their apostolate, of their service in society. At the dawn of the third millennium, these signs encourage us to await a mature and fruitful epiphany of the laity. Epiphany means what? It's a showing forth. And the showing forth of the role of the laity. Who's the laity? All the non-ordained who are baptized into Christ. The bishops, not the priests, not the deacons. They're part of the ordained ministry within the church. But all of us are being awakened today. All of us are being called into the work of the council that said, Catholics, wake up. Your baptismal dignity bears with it a responsibility for you to live fully in the life of the Holy Spirit that you've been given. And the Holy Spirit is the one, like the apostles, who wants to empower you and move you into the mission that Christ has given you. First, maybe as a father or mother, married couple, raising your children, building a domestic church in the power of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being encouraged and strengthened by the Spirit, your participation in your parish, What role, what place has God given you to engage the mission of that parish, to make whatever contribution you can make based on what time you have and related to your vocation and the rest, but then also your place in the world. Our fundamental mission field as lay people is the whole secular world. And we're meant to enter that world on mission. We're meant to enter that world knowing that we've been anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself in us and through us in different ways. Now, the reading we had yesterday, and we have other readings like it leading up to Pentecost, the first reading was from Acts chapter 19. It's very interesting because it gives to us a sense of who the Holy Spirit is, and I think in a way gives us an understanding or an expectation that there's more to living with the Spirit than most of us understand or experience. Here's St. Paul. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the country and down to Ephesus, this is in modern-day Turkey, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" Isn't that interesting? How would they know if they received the Holy Spirit? But Paul knows what it means, what Jesus intended to do was to communicate his Holy Spirit to us, not just to call us to repentance or to give us certain kinds of teaching, but to communicate life, his divine life and the power of the Spirit. He said, "How were you baptized?" They said, "We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Paul said, "How were you baptized?" They replied, "We were with the baptism of John," that is John the Baptist. Paul then said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance." What does repentance mean? Call to change direction. We're not moving in a God-directed way. We're not living according to his commandments. We need to turn toward God. So Paul is saying, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 men. So it says, he entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. As his master went forth and preached the kingdom, so Paul went forth. But here's the key. Paul's expectation is very clear. If you become a follower of Jesus and you become his disciple, you must, as Jesus said, be born again of water and the Spirit. That the gift of the Holy Spirit is the essential gift. What it means to be Christian is to have received the Holy Spirit. And here we see so clearly the Holy Spirit, just as on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit manifested himself. How? Because as the Spirit came upon them, just as on the day of Pentecost, these new disciples, they start speaking in tongues and they start to prophesy. Go back to what I said yesterday from Acts chapter 2, where Peter interprets for everyone who's gathered on the day of Pentecost what's happening. He's saying what's happening is the prophecy of Joel, the prophet Joel, is being fulfilled. And what is that prophecy? That God intends to pour out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. And he said, when that happens, your sons and daughters will prophesy. The Spirit will move them to speak in the power of the Holy Spirit in a unique way. I want to talk more about this tomorrow, but as we prepare for Pentecost, it's important for us to have the Lord's expectation of what Pentecost is meant to be in your life and mine, because he has more in store for us than we even know. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.